Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today is Thursday, August 27th, 2020, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are at page 1, the second paragraph, We Landed in England, through three paragraphs ending with Ominous Warning, Which I Failed to Heed. Commenting on all those paragraphs. Today, the readers are 12 Steps Liz T, 12 Traditions Lois P. Reader of the text will be Dion R. Page 164 will be Donna W. And our backup reader will be Margaret D. The reference numbers for Wednesday, August 26, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 15,225. That's 15225. And this morning, Thursday, August 27th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting was 15,231. That's 15231. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Nadia B. We will also have announcements following the newcomer greeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Liz T. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Liz.
Hi, good morning. This is Liz T. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Minnesota. The 12 steps. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for allowing me to do service.
Thank you, Liz T. I will now ask Lois P. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Lois.
Good morning, Dawn. Good morning, everyone. This is Lois P., recovered in New York. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for the opportunity to share this morning, and with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Lois P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what we read, what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinent requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book on page 1. The second paragraph, we landed in England through three paragraphs ending ominous warning, which I failed to heed, commenting on all those paragraphs. I will now ask Dion R. to begin reading. Good morning, Dion.
Good morning, Don. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, good. Good morning, guys. Hi, this is DNR, Recovered Compulsive Overeater. Bill story. Okay. We landed in England. I visit Westchester Cathedral. Much move. I wandered outside, my attention caught by a doggo on an old tombstone. Here lies a hamster grenadier who caught his death drinking small beer. A good soldier never forgot whether he died it by the musket or by pot. Ominous warning, which I fail to heed. Oh, wow. That little paragraph, this is a lot right there. The warnings I received. First of all, I'm going to talk about the ominous warning. I was just looking it up, in the dictionary. Of course, it's like an omen. Something's bound to happen. But when it's an ominous warning, oh, my goodness. It's like something is trying to tell me something, and I did not listen or heed to it, whether it was people, places, or things. It gave me an idea that you're going to be a compulsive overeater. You don't slow down. You don't back away from that table. I heard parents say that, grandparents. It's like they didn't know I needed that food to survive. I thought I needed it. Probably did, just like this guy probably felt like he needed that good cold beer or whatever it was, you know, a person had. But today, that has been replaced, thanks to you all, my higher power, with an infinite God, you know, and I rely on him for everything. He walks me through everything. He holds my hand, and it, because I allow it, you know. People gave me warnings years ago. I had other sponsors that took me through the Big Book in OA. Did I heed the warning? No. I thought I could find an easier, softer way. Today, I'm through fighting, you know, trying to find my way. I surrender. Each day I get up, I got to surrender, you know, guys. So, oh, no, I'm just grateful that I can heed the warning. I used to have to touch. The old saying is like, my mom used to say, you have to touch the fire to find out if it's hot enough. I'd be like, I can't take what everybody say for gospel. They tell me this, but they do that. But today, I don't know, if I see your hand kind of crunchy and burnt up or whatever, or you and the disease because you didn't try it your way, I think I'll stick with what works. With that, I'll pass, guys. Thanks for allowing me to be of service this morning.
Thank you so much, Dion R. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So we now open up the lines and ask who would like to share on these three paragraphs this morning.
Kara L.
R.
Kara L. And who did I miss?
Bruce in Florida.
R.
Bruce E. Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And
Lauren
who else?
H.
Lauren H. Lauren H. Barbara E.
Donna W.
Donna W. And was there someone else in there I missed? I have Kara L., Bruce E., Lauren H., Barbara E., and Donna W.
Evan R.
Evan R. Okay, well, that's a great lineup.
Irene B.
And Irene B. Okay, let's stop there. Kara L., go ahead this morning, followed by Bruce E. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you for everyone who's doing service this morning and bringing us this meeting. I am so blessed. You know, just before this meeting on Thursdays, I get to go to another Big Book meeting, and the power of the words in this book. You know, I woke up the wrong side of serenity, and after studying it a little bit this morning with fellows and then continue to study with you, you know, I'm back with my higher power right in the groove, and that's beautiful. I love this part. You know, we see him just leaving Winchester Cathedral, Bill, and he walks outside and he catches the sight of this little dog world, right, this little sign. And I love that we see Winchester Cathedral, you know, that moment and that time in his life pop up again once he's recovered, right? And he, you know, just this moment that these small pictures in our lives come back to us. It's speaking to me of moments in my higher power has spoken to me before I was recovered. And they're coming into full view now that I am recovered, now that I work every day to keep conscious contact with my higher power, to work these steps every single day, to stay in this book every single day, to enlarge my spiritual life and work with others every single day through the steps. And, you know, these photographs of my higher power has been here all along, and I think that's hopeful. Hopeful that even when I couldn't see them, my higher power was still providing for me. And what a beautiful gift it is now that I get to relive them and see the beauty of my higher power doing for me what I cannot do for myself. I'm finding more and more as I study and as I grow in recovery that there are many things I cannot do for myself, and that my higher power will do for me. You know, and the last ominous warnings, which I failed to heed. Oh, I could go on for a longer time about a lot of ominous warnings in my life that I failed to heed. The truth is, until I got out of self, I couldn't hear any warnings. I couldn't see any warnings until I got out of self. And I had to dive into this program and do what this book said so that I could be relieved of the bondage of self. So thank you, everybody, for being here. And I just want to take a moment to encourage those who don't share. I just want to let you know, my heart pounds every time I share and every time that I speak. And I want to encourage you, because I'd love to hear from other voices this morning, too. So thank you. And with all, a pass.
Thank you so much, Kara L. And now we'll have Bruce E. followed by Lauren H. Good morning, Bruce.
Okay. Well, good morning. Thank you. I'm very, very grateful to get to be on this line today and serve this way and just serve by just being on the line. And it's wonderful. Glad to be recovered today in Florida. Don't miss Evan. I think it's Evan R. that's coming on in a few more shares. He and I memorized yesterday what we were going to say today. So don't miss it. Let's see. ominous warning, all right? So Bill's in this, he's getting ready to go into war. He stops at Winchester Cathedral, has a spiritual experience there, but the clamors of the world kind of blocked it out as life went on. And he reads this doggerel, this irregular poetry, on this tombstone. And he remembered this for years, all through his alcoholism, until Abby talked to him 10 or 15 years later. And he remembered this. He remembers his spiritual experience at Winchester Cathedral. He remembers his doggerel of this Hampshire Grenadier, guys from Hampshire, England, I assume. And he made it through all these wars with all these grenades strapped all over him, because he's a grenadier. As many had all the grenades strapped all over him. He made it through all those wars, but yet couldn't be victorious in the war of alcoholism. So, and it took him down, killed him. And he's buried, he's made famous, he's buried in the Winchester Cathedral. So, I made it through a few wars, a few hundred wars maybe, wars with people, wars with life, wars with finances, wars with food, but the food took me down. I couldn't win that war. I couldn't either. I couldn't win it. And there was lots of ominous warnings from my mom, my dad, my brother, and lots of unsolicited advice, and I never took into account any of it that I can remember. Just a few things maybe, but they gave me warnings probably every day, maybe at least every week. And I never, you know, I didn't, you know, Bill got this warning. He didn't, you know, get it till all those years later. And I didn't get it till many years later. Now, looking back on it, I had a lot of good advice from my parents and brother, but didn't grasp it, you know, didn't take it internally, didn't remember it. And now I do. Now it comes back.
Time.
Now that the food is lifted, I can remember those things. So thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Bruce E. We'll now have Lauren H. share, and she'll be followed by Barbara E. Good morning, Lauren.
Hi, this is Lauren H. from Los Angeles. Hi, everybody. Good morning. Gosh, I love this passage. It reminds me that God was always there, but I thought they were coincidences. I thought they were just haphazard moments and visions all throughout my life. And now I know what that is. It's God just warning and loving and sharing with me all day. And I want to share with you guys something that just happened to me. I was on a road trip to my mom's house to go through all her stuff after she passed away. And we had to take a different turn because there were fires and on Route 70. So we came back through Santa Fe home. And we stayed at this beautiful hotel. And Santa Fe was just so cool. And I just kept, oh, I'm going to go out and get something. And kept telling my family I had to leave so I could just walk around the neighborhood of right in the middle of Santa Fe. And I didn't have a lot of alone time. So I said, I'm going to take the puppy for a walk. And I didn't take my phone. So I just really wanted to be with God and meditate and just listen. And so I went and walked. And there's a church right next to my hotel. And it was so beautiful and old, and I was going to go walk through it, the grounds, and it said, nope, dogs. And so I looked, and I was like, okay, never mind. And I went a different direction, and then God told me to circle back around to it, and I circled back around to it, like the other side. And I look at the church, and it's the church of St. Francis of Assisi in Santa Fe. And I just almost fell to my knees. I just started sobbing. It was just such a beautiful ending of my trip to be with my mom's stuff after she passed away. And she's what brought me into program, and she's what got me recovered and with God, you know. And it just, it was so beautiful, and I just felt God's love and God's warmth and God's hugs as I explored this beautiful old chapel dedicated to St. Francis and all the animals that he loved. And I say the St. Francis prayer every morning, so it meant so much to me. So I just love that I'm not blocked from God today, and I'm so grateful for you guys and the vision and Big Book and sponsors and fellowship, and that's what I wanted to share with you, so I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Lauren H. Barbara E., followed by Donna W. Good morning, Barbara. Star 1 to unmute, Barbara.
Okay, thank you for reminding me. Wow, I'm really thrilled to be on this meeting with you this morning. It's funny, it didn't matter how many ominous warnings I've had over the years, and I had had many, but I would never have heeded them. So I see myself in Bill's story every time we read it. The ominous warnings, the desperation, the failures, the pain, the suffering. But that's the problem with good things that happen. They very often disguise themselves as awful things. Wouldn't it be lovely if whenever we're going through something difficult, someone or something would tap us on the shoulder and say, "Don't worry, it's completely worth it. It may seem like horrible crap right now, but it will all come out right in the end." But sometimes we just have to wait. Excuse me, but sometimes we just have to wait and plow along and think, well, this isn't working or it's just too hard. And sometimes we even give up too quickly. But believe me, it's worth the pain and hard work that lies ahead because the outcome is just so wonderful. So please don't give up on yourself and believe that there is a miracle in store. And that's what Bill's story is all about, a man who suffered greatly but was saved and went on to co-write a book that would live on and save many others. So tough it out, and trust me, Bill's story can have a happy ending, and does, and we can have happy endings too. And don't we all love happy endings? I know I do. Thank you for allowing me to share. I pass.
Thank you, Barbara E. And now we'll have Donna W., who will be followed by Evan R. Good morning, Donna W.
Hi, good morning, Don and everyone. Donna W. checking in from Palo Alto, California. So what I see here, I was looking at the previous paragraph we read yesterday, and there's two warnings. He forgot the strong warnings and prejudices of his people concerning drink, and then this ominous warning. I think Bill's a master of the foreshadowing, you know, in the depths of his despair of drinking. He gives this foreshadowing of being rocketed to the fourth dimension. And, you know, one of the things I'm always struck by is, like, you know, in the stories later in the book, there's a lot of talk about people's childhood. And Bill just jumps right into being a young adult. And I don't know anything about his childhood. I have heard he was raised by his grandparents, but that's all I know. And so he's not really dwelling on why he drinks. You know, he just drinks. You know, there's some hint that there's some alcoholism in his family, but he doesn't dwell on why he drinks. And I dwelled on I really wanted to understand why I ate. I thought if I could just figure myself out, I can put down this bag of chips that I can't stop. I could just lose some weight, and then everything would be fine. And, you know, I really wanted to look at the reasons for all those external reasons for why I ate. And eventually I went to a therapist in that pursuit, and then she pointed me to OA. And, you know, what I've learned in program is we put down the food, and then we start to learn, you know, I work on my character defects, and things I'm learning is that I am very self-centered, dishonest, self-seeking, self-reliant, fearful, and filled with self-pity. So that's where I need a lot of help today. If there's any prayers anywhere, I'll gladly receive some. So that's what that's telling me. I don't know if I got ominous warnings. I went to doctors, and they told me all my health problems were related to my obesity. I got a lot of frothy appeal from my family. You know, oh, you'd be so pretty if you just lost a few pounds. A lot of frothy appeal. But, you know, as we know, that doesn't work. Like, we need to hear it from another compulsive eater. We often need to hit bottom. You know, we need to be out there experimenting with the food. So let me see if there's anything else I want to just check in. Well, I just want to check in. I'm in California. It's been a rough week with all the fires and the smoke. And I just want to say I'm really tired today. You know, food is not the solution. I can take a nap. I can lean into my higher power. I can make calls. I can meditate. I just want to say all that out loud because I'm really wiped out today. And I have a very full a day where I need to be on. So even if it's 5 minutes checking in with my higher power and get on the beam and stand in the sunlight of the spirit, that's where I need to be today. Thanks so much for my share, and I pass.
Thank you, Donna. Evan R. will now share, followed by Irene B., and then we're going to be opening up the lines for more shares. Good morning, Evan.
Hi, Evan R., recovered compulsive overeater, Southern California. Yeah, as Bruce said, we read this yesterday and sort of prepared ahead, but also, like what the first lady said about, you know, encouraging others to share, you know, Bruce encourages me to share, and honestly, I was pretty nervous, and I now try to share at once a week. You know, Bruce works a strong program. I respect that. So do what he says. But a little history about this part that I didn't know is like Winchester Cathedral is like a very like established sort of famous place, and you don't get buried there unless you had some form of high esteem in society. And, you know, this guy was a, you know, grenadier, which is like a grenade. So it's something that he probably had a lot of courage. He's kind of famous. And yet on his tombstone is, this guy killed himself drinking, and I was like, wow, I hope on my tombstone doesn't say, you know, here's Evan who died binging his brains out by himself in a closet, which is pretty sarcastic, but also, you know, it could have been the truth, you know, and for me, the ominous warnings have been, you know, I started dieting when I was 9, and, you know, I was always Mr. Exercise, Mr., like, you know, everyone's like, how are you so disciplined? How do you do it? And I'm like, back before program, I was like, oh, you know how I say so disciplined? Fear of what I would look like if I wasn't in shape, you know. And it was very much fear-based, and I became scared of certain foods. And I thought that, you know, being a compulsive overeater just meant you ate a lot. But it definitely, for me, has more to do with the food behaviors than anything else and psychology around foods. There's alcoholic foods, red light foods that I don't eat because that make me feel very uncomfortable and excites that allergy. But, you know, there's also a lot of food behaviors that I don't engage in compulsively. And I can say, you know, over the last, since I've been coming to this and working with my sponsor for like past 5 months, I've had a lot of recovery and I don't really engage in most of those food behaviors. The thoughts are still there sometimes, but, you know, now I've honestly haven't been healthier, haven't been stronger, and I'm not doing any of those compulsive food behavior. So it's very encouraging. Thank you. That's it.
Thank you so much, Evan. Irene B., please share with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you so much for your service. I'm Irene B. from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Starting my timer. Thank you so much. Thank you for your service. Heeding the warnings. I don't know that I heard them any warnings, but my dad sat me down starting when I was about 10 years old and said, if I don't lose weight now, it's going to get really, really difficult when I get older, so this is the time to do it. Well, I took that as the ultimate insult and corroboration of disapproval. And, oh, man, I just wanted to disappear when he was saying those things to me. And I guess those were his warnings. He said that he didn't explain why it was important to lose weight, but for him it was a beauty thing and you know, being acceptable. And the only way you can earn acceptability would be through physical beauty, I guess, as a girl. And it hurt so bad. and he just tried so hard to get me to not be fat. And I thought I was obese, but I wasn't. I was always afraid to sit in a chair because it would break. But in terms of warnings, other than the fact that when I was a compulsive overeater, it was all about being acceptable and beauty. And then when I became bulimic, and when I first started hearing about bulimia, they said that you could die from this, that your esophagus or your stomach could rupture. Now that was warning. That was hitting. And I ignore those because the compulsion to binge and purge was far stronger. And in my magical thinking, it's like, oh, that wouldn't happen to me. And I just ignored. And I had no hope. And then I wanted to stop and I couldn't. And I just know that I need to connect to my power for me to be able to deal with this. And today, if I don't connect with my power, I'm doomed. I'm just doomed. That's my only solution. And this book is like the first time I read it, I thought, oh, this is stupid. It's like, what's the point of reading this? And now when I read it, oh my gosh, it is so powerful and significant. It is like a new universe revealed to me, and that's just because of my blindness, of my denial. And with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Irene B. Well, we're on page one, the second paragraph in Bill's story, starting with, we landed in England, through those three paragraphs ending with ominous warning, which I failed to heed. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Daylene B.
Jan C.
Nicole P.
Donna.
Carrie S.
Nicole P.
Okay. I have Jan C., Nicole C., Terry S., and who did I miss?
Daylene B.
Donna B.
Was that Gaylene?
Gaylene B. is Tim Boy.
Gaylene B. And was that Donna?
Yes, Donna B.
Okay, Donna B. And who else would like to share? We might have time for one more.
Mary G.
Mary G. Okay, we'll stop there. I have Jan C., Nicole C., Terry S., Gaylene B., Donna B., and Mary G. Go ahead, Jan.
Hi, this is Jan C. I'm from Ohio. And I have a fear of sharing, too, but I felt like I needed to share today. I'm a medical professional, and I have knowledge about, health conditions. And I failed to heed so many warnings about my eating problem. I became diabetic and had to take shots every day. But in my brain, it was like, oh, it's okay. I can still eat all this stuff because I've got medicine to control my blood sugar. And just ignoring the fact that, I'm killing my eyes and my kidneys and all along. And because of this specific program, the Vision Meetings, I have so much gratitude because of that, I've been able to heed that warning and actually am off of all of my diabetes medicine today. And, my dietitian said, well, how did you do that? That's impossible. People don't do that. Well, I did. And it's because of this meeting, and it's because of, my relationship with my higher power and the big book and working with my sponsor. And I just wanted to express gratitude and that it's never too late to heed the warning. That's really all I have to say. Thank you for your service, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Jan C. And now we'll have Nicole C. followed by Terry S. Good morning, Nicole. Star
hello.
One, unmute.
Hello, I'm Nicole P., as in Paul. And
this particular line fell to heat. When I think about this in particular, especially pertaining to me right now, my sponsor told me to write my food history. And as I was listening to other people comment, it reminded me because I'm at step zero. But something that I love that my sponsor told me was, instead of telling you what to do, he's like, you know what? I want you to spend the next 48 hours, and I want you to go through your pantry and eat all the food that you know you won't binge on. And after those 48 hours, you call me back and we can get started. And it was such a fresh approach, and I never was approached that way. And right now it's like that was the problem. Yeah, I've released weight. Yeah, I've sponsored this. Yes, I've been in programs. But I feel like this is the first time that I did it wholeheartedly because I didn't come in here with an agenda. I didn't come in here to impress. I came in here vulnerable. I came in here saying I need help and I'm desperate. And so when I don't overthink it, it comes. So the warnings were there for me since I was six. And I progressively saw the weight pack on. And these rooms have taught me that, oh, I don't have a food problem. I have a spiritual problem. And so when I get into that part, especially now even thinking about my food history, it's like, wow. Why am I picking up? Because, I mean, there are other foods I can eat, and I don't think about binging on. And so when I'm going through this history, it's like, wow, this common denominator is when I was trying to control something, I picked up. And I'm realizing that, wow, when I allow my higher power to do what he is more than equipped to do, that's when I am successful in this program because I'm not trying to be him. And that's a powerful thing for me, to let go of the control and allow my higher power to be whom he needs to be. And that's my shoulder, my ladder, my light. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Nicole. We'll now have Terry S. followed by Gaylene B. Thank you, Terry. Would you share with us?
Yes, good morning. This is Terry S. in Oregon. And the sentence that really caught me this morning was, much moved, I wandered outside. And I've never been to Winchester Cathedral, but I've certainly been to many spiritual sites around the world. And there is a feeling that comes over you. And what I wanted to talk about today was how program has opened my spirituality. You know, I was raised Lutheran. I went into a very Pentecostal Christian phase. And then I went extremely agnostic. And then I dabbled in lots of other spiritual teachings, including shamanic. And each time I was convinced that, oh, I found the truth. Oh, I found the truth. And yet I was still finding my truth in a bag of M&Ms. So it was very incongruent. And I was trying. I was seeking. I really wanted a spiritual connection with a power greater than myself. Then when I really got serious in program, working the steps, it has opened up a higher power for me that it's a mystery. I don't understand it. I feel it. And I use the word God, which to me means great open door. And it's a one-syllable word, so it keeps it simple for me. But the truth I'm finding is the deeper I surrender, the more I am using step 6 and 7. I'm doing step 10, 11, 12, and of course I do all the rest of them, but it's knocking off the chunks of ego that is opening up my life in a totally different way, and yet after all of my spiritual studies, I have less understanding of what my higher power is now than I did then. So I'm just grateful for this beautiful process of the steps. Recovery for me is a spiritual solution. It is not just working the tools and, you know, focusing on the physical. It really has grown in so much ways that I don't even have words to describe. So I'm very, very grateful to be here. And I love hearing everybody shares. This is just such a powerful hour in my morning, and I really appreciate it. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Terry. We'll now have Gaylene B., followed by Donna B. Go ahead, Gaylene.
Thank you. This is Gaylene B., recovering in Idaho. I'm grateful to be on the line today, and I, too, get very nervous about sharing, so I appreciated the earlier speaker mentioning have courage and use your voice. I have been trying to recover from compulsive eating for quite some time, and the very first sponsor that I, well, maybe the second or third sponsor, I've had several. We don't have a really strong program here, or we didn't until recently, in the last couple of years. But I was traveling to another city and was having a hard time finding a sponsor, and the traveling became hard. And then I found another sponsor who was working in kind of a private program here. And she said to me, when I asked her to sponsor me, I'd be happy to sponsor you. You just need to know what your abstinence program is. I don't care how long it takes. Call me back when you have it. And it took me about 9 months of praying and pleading and asking, how do you want me to eat? I wanted a diet for the rest of my life, not a diet to lose weight, but a way of eating. And my higher power gave that to me. And you would think, even having had this great spiritual experience of knowing how I was supposed to eat, what abstinence looked for me personally with my higher power, that I would be able to do it. But I couldn't. I just continually go back to the food. And even my husband and I were called on a mission about 2 years ago, and the way that I felt like my higher power told me to eat was the way they ate in this country, and we were there, and I just exercised every morning and was busying myself serving, and the weight just fell off me, and I thought it was such a dream and a given gift from God. And then came back to Idaho, and again, slowly the weight starts to come back on, and I just, what is wrong with me? Why can I not stick with this way of eating that I know I'm supposed to? And I was listening to the 8th anniversary speakers meeting, and I believe it was on step 9. I think it was Mo that was shared about that. And whoever it was that spoke said that having amends that you would not make had driven her back to the food. And I had heard that warning before in speaker meetings, in some AA meetings that I'd gone to with friends that struggle with that and family members. I had heard that warning, but I had some amends that I just would not make. And I ignored them and made excuses, and I'll get to those later, but I'll do all these easier amends. And I can say, I'm sorry for being controlling and taking your inventory and not staying my own, you know, keep my own side of the street clean. But when that speaker shared that with such power, it came into my soul that if I want the gift of recovery, there are amends that I must make. And I knew that was a great warning to me, and I'm really grateful for that. And so I sat down with my husband and shared with him some amends that I needed to make that would require his knowledge about, so that I could use some of our finances. And I'm only halfway through, and I feel something changed in my heart, and I'm so thankful for that warning that I was able to heed at this time. And I thank you, and thank you that I could share today. And I pass.
Thank you, Gaylene. We'll now have Donna B., followed by Mary G. Go ahead, Donna.
Good morning. This is Donna B., recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic in Denver. And I want to talk about in the context of compulsive overeating, the obsession with exercise that I struggle with, and as I've been sharing that with others, it seems that there's sort of a very pervasive presence of obsession with exercise within our fellowship. When we were placed in quarantine on March 12th, I started walking a lot, 2 hours a day, then maybe an evening walk, and I just did a small loop in my neighborhood over and over and over again. And the neighbors would say, "God, how much do you walk? How much do you walk?" And I would cheerfully respond, "I don't measure in miles. I measure in mental health." And I really felt that my walking was normalizing my life during sort of the peak of the abnormality of being placed in quarantine. And with time, my knees began to ache. And that was an ominous warning that I failed to heed. And certainly not the first one. During the course of my lifetime as a compulsive overeater, a bulimic by way of vomiting, and an exercise bulimic, I've struggled with chronic pain in all different areas of my body. And I've sought physical therapy and chiropractic and massage, anything except for stopping or resting or doing less. And I'm currently in a chapter of my life again where my knees are aching. And I understand now, at least intellectually, that warning. And I am in prayer. I am begging God to give me direction. I am begging for the willingness to do the most uncomfortable thing for me, which is to pause, to stop, to take direction. Thank you for letting me share that very current and present challenge that I'm facing in my life. Thank you.
Thank you, Donna. And now we'll have Mary G. And we have time for like a 2 minute share, Mary. So if you could take 2 minutes.
Okay, sounds good. Hi, this is Mary G. right outside Chicago. This ominous warning, which I failed to heed. And I'm so grateful for we read this because when I was around like, I don't remember, 10 or 11, I was starting to gain some weight, and I have a cousin the same age as me, and we were sat down by my mom and my aunt and my grandma, and we were warned that if, you know, we continue to gain weight, you know, we're going into high school, it's not going to be very fun. We're not going to, you know, be asked to dances, and it's going to be a tough road ahead. And I was so, so angry at that. I was so young and I couldn't, you know, understand it at the time. I took offense to it. And I'm so grateful for reading this because now being a mother myself, I can't imagine how hard that was to have to sit my daughter down and give that warning. I don't know if they went about it the right way, but I'm so grateful to now to see that it was a warning. It was a threatening warning because I did eventually grow up to be a compulsive overeater and to suffer from this illness. My mom is also the same person who introduced me to OA, so I guess it all kind of worked out in the end. But yeah, that's all I have to share. I'm grateful for this meeting. I'm grateful for recovery, and thank you for everyone for your service, and I will pass.
Thank you, Mary G., and thank you so much to everyone who shared today. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Donna W. please read A Vision for You, Our Book is Meant to Be Suggestive Only, keep you until then.
Hi, this is Donna W. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then, and thank you for this opportunity to be of service.